Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You might have seen a news report about a 1,500-year-old papyrus that says something about the Lord's Supper, perhaps quotes or allusions to both the Old and the New Testament. And in the news reports, it's being called a early Christian charm, something to ward off evil. Joining us to talk about this discovery, Dr. Craig Evans, professor of New Testament at Acadia Divinity College and author of numerous books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. Dr. Evans, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back.
This thing's been lying around in a library for some time, and now only now is being studied or examined. What kind of artifact are we talking about here?
Well, it's a small piece of ancient paper. It's called papyrus. It's actually made from a reed that used to grow in great abundance in the Nile Delta. It would be sliced into strips, and the strips would be laid out side by side in one direction, and then another layer in the opposite direction would be pressed over it. About a day later or so, it's dried out, and it's actually a piece of paper. And they would cut these out in squares, stitch them together, make books out of them later, but book rolls or scrolls is what they originally did. And that's where we get our word paper. So what we have found here is a text that's about 1,500 years old. It's probably early 6th century. That's just a guesstimation based on the handwriting style. And it's a charm. It's protective. It's actually a rather common artifact. You have Christian charms and pagan charms, and people sometimes would wear them around their neck, maybe in a little pouch, or in some other fashion, and it was believed to protect you from evil or harm.
So this is, at least I take it from the news reports, been recycled, so to speak. But that's not unusual, is it?
No, not at all, because paper was expensive, and book rolls were usually written on only one side, the side that, you know, would be rolled up and protected. And sometimes what somebody would do is buy a used book roll, and that's a cheaper way to get paper, and then write on the back side. And it could be on an individual piece of paper. You could cut out a small chunk, and apparently that's what we have here. So it was some sort of a business paper or a receipt or something like that. And on the back side, somebody wrote out a little charm, which is mostly snatches of scripture, as already been mentioned, and rolled it up and wore it around their neck or in some other way, kept it close to their person and for protection.
How do we know that that's the kind of practice associated with these scraps of ancient scraps of paper, that they are to somehow ward off evil? What is the process by which we arrive at that?
Well, we know that because amulets are actually referred to in literature, and sometimes in large charms. They'll say, here's what you write, you know, on the tinfoil, the lamella, or here's what you write on the papyrus, or, you know, for the amulet. So there are actually references to that. And so sometimes even in diagrams, they'll show a picture, a stick figure, and with information or instructions about where to put it and that kind of thing. So there's not much mystery about it. We know a lot about these amulets. And this one is unusual because we have an allusion to the Lord's Supper. Usually we have references like to the first verses of the four Gospels, what we call the Incipit, the very first verse. Sometimes the Lord's Prayer, that's rather common, some of it or all of it. Psalm 91 was popular because it promised protection against evil at night and things like that, which was understood as demonic. And so these were favorite verses. Well, here we have, and sometimes references to exorcism, where Jesus casts out an evil spirit, defeats legion in Mark 5, for example. But this one's a bit unusual because we have an allusion to the Lord's Supper, and that's really neat. And I think the authors are right to say that in this location, it just shows you how deep into Egypt by the 5th and 6th centuries, knowledge of Scripture has penetrated, where somebody who doesn't have a Bible in front of him but probably writing from memory composes this interesting little amulet, and it's full of Scripture woven together.
We tend to forget, don't we, Dr. Evans, that Egypt was, in fact, at one time, not the epicenter, but certainly an epicenter of early Christianity.
Oh, you're quite right. We have, in fact, about one-third of our earliest New Testament documents come from, one place, Oxyrhynchus, a business town, really, not exactly a cultural center by any means. And so Christianity flourished in Egypt, Alexandria, and elsewhere in Egypt, and it was that way until the Islamic conquest in the 7th century.
I'm intrigued by the angle in the story that this thing has basically been in residence at this library for, more than 100 years, since 1901.
Yeah, that's right.
And that only now has someone kind of picked it up, looked at it, and said, oh, well, this is something here. It kind of lends one to believe that there's an awful lot of stuff sitting around that has yet to be thoroughly examined.
Well, you're quite right in your belief, because it's true. I've been in the Sackler Papyrus room in the Bodleian Library in Oxford, and there are tens of thousands, indeed hundreds of thousands, of papyrus pages and documents yet to be published just from Oxyrhynchus. And there are thousands of pages from there and other places kept at schools like Manchester and other universities, Cambridge and elsewhere in Europe, that these are pages that simply haven't been examined yet. They haven't been published. And so I have no doubt there are Christian texts and other old copies of and fragments of Scripture. It really is treasure just left lying around. This stuff was gathered up by the crateful at the end of the 19th century and the first two or three decades of the 20th century. And frankly, we just haven't had the time or the manpower to sift through all of it to figure out exactly what we have. And so it was on occasion of the development of the John Rylands Research Institute there in Manchester, which will be launched next month. And so some of the staff went sifting through what these holdings, and I'm sure they only looked at some of them, and Roberta Mazza recognized the allusion to the Lord's Supper on this particular small piece of papyrus. And anyway, this has been reported, and this is why we're talking about it.
Dr. Craig Evans is professor of New Testament at Acadia Divinity College, and he has authored numerous books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. We will post a link to Dr. Evans' website at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Evans, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Good to talk to you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Peter Bender. The church on this day is remembering Zacharias and Elizabeth, the aged parents of John the Baptist. Now, we probably know the story. If you've read the Christmas story, you can't avoid reading the story of John the Baptist, his conception and his birth. There is Zacharias, elderly priest serving in the temple. He goes into the holy place where he is praying, and an angel, not just an angel, the angel, Gabriel, appears to him and says, "Your prayer has been heard." Well, what was his prayer? Maybe there's a misconception there that we need to clear up. And how does that help us better understand the entire account of Zacharias and Elizabeth, not only his encounter there with the angel in the temple, but John's birth, John's name, what Zacharias has to say when his tongue is finally loosed to say what he's been waiting to say all this time, and of course Elizabeth, what she has to say in her encounter with the mother of our Lord. We'll go through all of that with Pastor Peter Bender in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Then, in the last 20 minutes or so, get ready. We're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.